Dear listeners, my sister and I decided to create a newsletter for our home called the E27 Times many years ago. That newsletter turned into a monthly gazette called the Happy Herald. The Happy Herald turned into Spirit, a monthly magazine which we continue to publish. It is our privilege and pleasure to share our writing and spirit with you. My name is Naveen. I am 14 years old and a sophomore in high school. I have a keen interest in science, medicine, and public service. In my spare time, I play ice hockey, tennis, and run cross country. I am the cartoonist, chief technical director, and co-founder of Spirit. I present to you the February 2021 edition of Spirit. Dear readers, everyone has poignant realizations from time to time. You know what I mean? Those ordinary moments in everyday life that make you scream, "Eureka!" inside your own head. I had one of these moments when I realized how very interesting it is that everyone perceives things differently. Think of a song you dislike. You hate the strains of twangy guitar and the lyrics make no sense. Every time it plays on the radio in the car, you cringe and turn the radio off. But someone else clearly loves the song, or it wouldn't be playing on their radio. Maybe you're having the best day of your whole life, but someone else just had a flat tire and they're already late for work and have gum in their hair. We all see things differently, but it's very easy to forget that. We all have our own fears, worries, hopes, and preferences, but all too often, we try to foist our own outlook on others and expect them to understand. Maybe the reason for the conflict that seems to pervade every aspect of society and the media is because we don't really practice tolerance enough. We need to strive to be kind and never judge. But stay positive. Keep your head held high and your face to the sun, and the shadows will fall behind you. With love, Editor Janu. EditorJanu@gmail.com. That's our email, and it's spelled EditorJanu@gmail.com. EditorJanu@gmail.com. The quote of the month, February 2021, is, "No two persons ever read the same book." And that's from Edmund Wilson. Jane and the Fire, by Janu. In 1958, a young Jane has just moved to the city of Chicago, Illinois, with her parents and cousins Billy. Jane follows elusive Mr. Bennett and esoteric Mr. Peel into a grove and hears about a suspicious rendezvous at the Hungry Eagle coffee shop. She manages to get out of the grove safely, but is horrified when Mr. Bennett approaches her family in the park. Does he know that her striped stockings are what he mistook for a raccoon's tail? "Why, look," said Mr. Joyce brightly. "It's our neighbor, Mr. Bennett. How are you, Mr. Bennett? Hello." He waves at Mr. Bennett before Jane can stop him. Mr. Bennett walks over, staring with a suspicious eye at Jane's stripy stockings. "Oh no," Jane thinks with a shiver. "He'll know I followed him." Fortunately, she's wearing a smocked gray frock that reaches past her knees. She tucks her legs under her frock and hopes to goodness that he, Mr. Bennett, doesn't notice anything out of the ordinary. He has arrived by now and stands by as stoic and emotionless as an ancient Roman marble bust. Mr. Joyce is bright and cheerful and talks about the weather, the local government, and the antics of the Billies. Mr. Bennett makes occasional noises of assent. Jane's skin is crawling. Does he know that she followed him or not? Mr. Bennett cuts Mr. Joyce off rudely, in the middle of a sentence, at that very moment. He looks at Jane. "And this is your daughter?" "Oh, yes," says Mr. Joyce, happily. "Jane, say hello to Mr. Bennett." "Hello, Mr. Bennett, how do you do?" says Jane. She sounds like a sick robot and winces. "How do you do?" replies Mr. Bennett. He looks suspicious, but not gleeful. Yet. "And how are you liking your new home so far?" "It is very nice," says Jane. "Or it would be if you could walk away," she thinks. "Humph," says Mr. Bennett. He frowns. "You know, something about you is rather familiar, young Jane. I haven't met you elsewhere." "Oh," intervenes Mr. Joyce. "You must have. Jane and I buy breakfast at the Hungry Eagle most days, and we often see you there." "Oh," says Mr. Bennett. He looks relieved. "Hmph, so long as that's it." Mr. Bennett's relief at evidently not being followed is nothing compared to Jane's joy that he, Mr. Bennett, is mollified. It seems that she is in the clear. She mentally thanks her father for the quick save. Mr. Bennett turns back to Mr. Joyce. "It was nice to see you, Vince," says Mr. Joyce politely. "Please feel free to drop by for tea any time. We're right next door." The gratitude Jane feels to him evaporates. "Yes, please drop by. I'm beginning work on a..." "Goodbye," interrupts Mr. Bennett very rudely. He storms away, scattering sparrows. "Seems rather unpleasant," says Mr. Joyce apologetically to the children, "but one must be polite." The younger Billy is bored now and begins running down the park path. Jane catches him and they all start for home. Jane's mind is on the mystery at hand. "The Hungry Eagle," she mused. "Good thing tomorrow's a Saturday. I'm going to the Hungry Eagle to find out what those people are up to." Curious about the fishy business going on? Will Jane find out what Mr. Bennett is planning? Send your feedback to editorjanu@gmail.com. Spirit Athletics. The GOAT, Tom Brady. By winning the match against the defending Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, on February 7th, 2021, with a score 31-9 Buccaneers, Tom Brady became the only NFL player in the league history to win 7 Super Bowl championships. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., born August 3, 1977, is an American football quarterback playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before joining Buccaneers in 2020, Brady played his first 20 seasons as a pro player for the New England Patriots and won 6 Super Bowls. He started his college football career at Michigan and was selected 199th overall by the Patriots in the 6th round of the 2000 NFL Draft. As a starting quarterback in his second season with the Patriots, he won his first Super Bowl in 2001 and never looked back. Brady became the first quarterback ever to take a team to win a Super Bowl in the first season after joining a new team. Brady holds numerous NFL records, including Super Bowl MVP after age 42, total passing yards, 91,653, career touchdown passes, 664, career quarterback wins, 264, and Super Bowl MVP awards, 5. In the history of team sports, there are so many athletes in the world who can run faster, jump higher, throw longer, sprint quicker, and who are stronger than Brady. But no one is better or smarter than Brady to change weakness to strength, pessimism to optimism, and a loss to a win. The greatest of all time, Tom Brady. Next we have The Funny by Thumbu. Pogwee the Pickled Pear and Friends, a Spirit Original. The friends are running from the human's dog. And it shows Pogwee, Otto, and Boris the banana running away. Boris has some brown bruises on him from when they jumped off the windowsill. Pogwee says, "Look at that rock. Is there someone standing next to it?" And next to the rock, there's a hooded figure with the MC on his hood, on his jacket. And he says, "Psst, over here, come on." "Woof. Huh, where did my food go?" says the dog, and is very confused as the Pogwee, Otto, Boris, and the mysterious stranger in the hood are standing behind the rock, but the dog can't see them. And the mysterious stranger, by the way, is the same size as Pogwee and Boris and the rest. "Follow me into the rock. We have shelter," says the hooded figure, and there's a tunnel leading deep into the rock, and they can see at the very end a light is glowing. "Should we really be following this guy?" asks Pogwee. "We don't have a choice, Pogwee," says Boris. "Shh, we're at the end of the tunnel," says Otto. "Wow," says Pogwee in the last panel, and his face shows surprise and amazement. What has Pogwee seen? Read the next episode of Pogwee the Pickled Pear to find out. Fruit of the Month. Currants. Current attractions are better off gone. By Janu. To be perfectly honest, I didn't know what currants actually were before writing this article. I have always mentally associated currants with Great Expectations era literature. I don't know, they just sound like fruits from the 1700s/1800s. Currants may be outdated in stature, but here are some reasons that they are very relevant in their benefits. Metabolic conditions, including diabetes, can be prevented by eating currants. Eating currants has been shown to be conducive to heart health. Studies show that currant juice reduces arterial plaque and decreases platelet pumping, the lack of which in turn reduces blood pressure. According to the National Psoriasis Foundation, applying black currant oil to rough patches can soothe skin. Currants are packed with vitamins B, C, and more. Eating black currants can strengthen one's immune system. Pretty impressive list of accomplishments there, currant, but let's take a step back. What are currants? They're grape-like fruits native to North America and Europe, spread over much of the Western Hemisphere. Anyone familiar with the British child favorite fruit juice, Ribena, is familiar with currants. Now that you know the what and why behind currants, we can investigate the how. How can one incorporate currants into menu aside from Ribena? They are easy fruits to incorporate into baking recipes. They can be eaten raw, dried, or in preserves. Let us know if you like these and what fruit to analyze next by emailing to editorjanu@gmail.com. The fine arts column has one from Therips, and it says Home Flora of Florida, digital photography, and there are 9 different photos within one photo, and each of them shows a different flower. And they're all in shades of pink, red, and white. Narnia, digital photography by Dr. Vijay, and the photo shows a frozen river with some water in it, some water flowing between ice, and in the distance there's a bridge, and all around are pine trees, and there's a mountain rising up further behind the bridge, and everything's dusted with snow. Looks very nice. And the last one is The End of Winter, digital photography by Lully, and it shows a frozen lake this time, and some patches of ice in the lake are starting to melt, and there's glaring sun coming from between two trees, so that it has rays coming all around. It's a cool effect. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of Spirit. Email editorjanu@gmail.com with inquiries. Ye Old Folk Tales, The Son of Seven Queens, retold by Naveen. Once upon a time, in India, there was a wealthy king. This king lived in a magnificent palace and had 7 wives, all of whom he loved dearly. It was a great grief to him that none of his wives had yet borne children. But one day, a holy saint told him that a son would be born to him. The king was overjoyed and arranged all possible festivities. The splendid palace of the 7 queens was decked in ornaments. Everything looked wonderful. One day, the king decided to lead a hunt. The 7 queens arose that morning with a strange dread in their hearts. They went to the king and asked him that, while hunting, he should not hunt in the north, lest some tragedy befall him. The king agreed and set off for his hunting. He toiled all day in the south, but no game was to be found. He also tried to hunt in the east and west, but still had no luck. Being a keen sportsman, the king resolved not to return home without a catch. He turned to the north and began to hunt again. For a while, he had no luck there as well, but within a short time, he heard a noise in the bushes. As he crept closer, a beautiful white doe leapt out and darted into the north. The king, who had never seen a deer as beautiful, started chasing it, as he wanted to catch it. The king followed the doe for many days, and he finally found himself at the base of a mountain at the northern edge of the world. The doe was nowhere to be seen, and the only thing in sight was an ugly hut. He walked into the hut to ask for water. There was an old woman spinning thread there, and she called her daughter to give their guest a drink. The girl came out, and the king was astonished to see that she was extremely beautiful. She was pale and had golden hair, and the king realized that she was the doe in human form. Before she knew what happened, the crafty magic Hind, which is female deer, put him under her spell. He was stricken by her magic and asked her to be his bride. The cruel Hind asked for the vision of his wives in return for her hand. The king returned to the kingdom and had the power of sight of his wives put into a jar, which he gave to the Hind. The Hind gave the jar to her mother, and, bidding farewell, returned with the king. The Hind now wielded mastery over much of the kingdom, and she ordered that the 7 blind queens be thrown into a noisome dungeon. The poor queens spent their days in the darkness, slowly starving. One day, the youngest of the queens bore a handsome son. At first, the other queens were jealous, but this soon vanished, as the boy thought of all of them as his mother's. As soon as he could walk, the lad began scraping at the wall, and soon there was a small tunnel through which he could crawl to the outside world. Nobody in the town knew where the tiny child came from, but all were amused by his charm and tricks. Whenever the boy returned to the noisome dungeon, he carried sweets and foods given to him by the villagers. This he would split equally among his 7 mothers. The boy grew up kind and strong. One day, he climbed the palace wall to catch a pigeon that sat upon the roof. The Hind, who had till now believed that the queens had starved to death, knew by her powers that the boy was the king's son. She asked for his pigeon, and the innocent youth refused, saying that it was a pet for his blind mothers who sat in the noisome dungeon. The Hind promised the boy his mother's vision in return, and now the lad gladly accepted. The Hind then gave him a piece of pottery and told him to take it to the hut at the northernmost mountain, and the boy set off. He was not aware that on the shard was written, "Kill the boy who carries this." On his way, the boy found a kingdom in which everyone was depressed. He learned that they were sad because the king's only daughter had asked to marry a boy with 7 mothers, and where could one like this be found? But when she saw the lad, the princess blushed and said, "Father, this is my choice," at which there was great rejoicing in the kingdom. The son agreed to marry the princess after giving his mothers their sight back, and told the girl his whole story. The princess, being literate, read the pot shard and rewrote the message, saying, "Give the boy who carries this whatever he wants." When, at the northernmost edge of the world, the Hind's mother read the potsherd, she immediately gave the boy the jar of his mother's sight, as she was dreadfully afraid of her daughter, the Hind. The boy gladly went and returned the sight to his mother's, and they were all very joyful. The boy went to thank the Hind, and she was enraged to see that he was still alive. She gave him another shard of pottery, saying, "Go and ask my mother to give you some grain, and show her the shard." Obediently, the boy set off, not knowing that the shard said, "Kill the boy without fail this time." The son of 7 queens decided to pay a visit to his fiancée on his journey. When she read the second potsherd, she rewrote it to say, "Give the boy who holds this 1,000,000-fold rice that ripens in one night, and our magic cow." For rumors of the Hind's special possessions had been heard in many kingdoms. The old woman of the north immediately gave the boy the magic rice and cow, and the boy returned to his mother's. After selling the rice and the never-ending rich milk that the cow gave, the boy and the queens became very rich. The villagers helped them build a magnificent palace identical to the one they had before, and the boy was married to the daughter from the other kingdom. The king, who was bewitched by the Hind now, came to see what all the hullabaloo was about. When he walked into the new palace and saw his 7 queens exactly as they were before, the Hind spell was broken and he rushed towards them, overwhelmed with emotion. The whole story came out, and the king immediately ordered the Hind to be banished. He welcomed his son's wife and her father, and they all lived happily ever after. The end. Did you enjoy this fabled folktale? We want to hear your feedback. Next, we have Wellness Central. Here's to health and happiness. Meditate, it's pretty great. By Jano. We've solemnized the 1-year anniversary of the start of quarantine this month, and it is very sad. Things are looking better in many places, it is true, and I think that we can all look forward to a more enjoyable summer than the last. But many of us are still at home, and many more have had to adjust to a whole new normal. It is very hard. We have all been stressed, melancholy, and unsettled during this pandemic, and that's where meditation, specifically heartfulness, comes in. The Heartfulness community celebrates humanity's way forward through the heart. You can learn more through books, the internet, and meditation experts, but the main gist of the practice is to sit back and breathe, to take a moment to pause and connect on a deeper level with yourself. This really works. It's so important, especially in these troubling times, to relax, to rejuvenate, and to take care of oneself. One way to do this is to pause and meditate. Just sit quietly, keep your mind worry-free, and appreciate. There is also a universal prayer you can participate in. According to heartfulness.org, at 9 p.m. sharp, everyone who would like to do so, wherever they might be at the time, may stop their activities and meditate for 15 minutes, thinking that all brothers and sisters are being filled with love and devotion, and that real faith is growing stronger in them. It shall be of immense value to them, which their practical experience only shall reveal. Stay well and safe, dear readers. Cooking Thali, innovative recipes, and also your favorite classics. The best ever vegan chocolate chip cookies by Janu. Finally, a homemade vegan cookie that tastes as good as it looks. When I say that these cookies are the best ever, I mean it. Crisp, sweet, with a hint of salt, and a quick bake, what more could you ask for? The ingredients for this are 5/4 cups light brown sugar, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 cup of unsalted butter, melted, just microwave it, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 1/4 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 a teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of coffee powder, 8 ounces of chocolate chips, and finally a mixture of 2 tablespoons of water, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of vegetable oil. Alright, so begin by whisking together butter, sugar, and salt. Mix well. All 3 ingredients should be evenly distributed. Now, stir in the water, baking powder, oil mixture, and the vanilla. The texture of the dough should be light and the consistency fluid. Add the flour and baking soda at this point. Stir the dry ingredients in gently. Add the chocolate chips and coffee powder. Coffee makes the chocolate more flavorful, so feel free to be liberal with the amount of coffee you incorporate. Cover the dough with a plastic sheet and let chill for 1/2 hour. Preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit or 180 degrees Celsius. Scoop the cookie dough onto a baking sheet. Bake until golden brown and the dough is spread out. That should be about 12 to 15 minutes. Try these cookies and tell us what you think. Recipes adapted from Tasty.co. Next we have letters to the editor. Dear Janu, you are always so positive and your subject matter so interesting to read. I think learning details about who your ancestors were is not only fascinating, but it also helps us learn more about who we are and as we embark on our life journey. You are now learning about your grandfather and how you are similar. What could be more interesting and rewarding than that? It's such a wonderful gift. In fact, learning about history in general is so rewarding. There is so much to learn and experience, and we have much to be grateful for. The key is to not forget that. From Laurie. Wow, a wonderful message in the beginning itself. It was so fun to see Pagui's many expressions. Ha ha ha, there is no doubt that the Running Late article reminds me of my activities every day. From Perry. Thank you for sharing. I can't wait to try the donut recipe. They look great. From Jill. And lastly, dear editor, I really enjoyed the humorous piece by your grandfather. He certainly is a wonderful writer. The cartoons are simply getting better and better every month. I look forward to more of Pagui's adventures. Speaking of serial stories, I am also a fan of this Jane series. Well done as always, Stace. Ask Clever Collie. Dear Clever Collie, what happens when you let go of a helium balloon? From Airhead Allen. Dear Alan, great question. Helium balloons rise due to air density because helium is a gas lighter than air. Assuming your balloon is latex, here's what would happen. The latex of the balloon would expand at first, and the helium inside will increase in volume. This will make it more buoyant and cause it to keep rising. The more the latex expands, the higher it will rise, until it pops. According to ZephyrSolutions.com, research from the Federal Department of Aviation has shown that latex balloons can rise from 5.7 to 6.6 miles before they pop. Balloons do not rise indefinitely. They do pop. With the pieces of latex and string land back on Earth, they can pose a serious threat to animals that may mistake this debris for food. Perhaps one can consider flying a kite instead. Sincerely, Clever Collie. Dear Clever Collie, should I get a dog? I've always wanted a dog, Ian. Dear Ian, if you have the time, the resources, and you've done the research, I say go for it. Dogs reduce stress and are good for the heart. Sincerely, Clever Collie. Jot Thoughts Reviews, Critique on Literature and More. The Funniest Books I've Ever Read by Janu. There's a book for every mood, people say. The William series by Richmal Crompton is one series for every mood. These books are hilarious, uplifting, and unendingly creative. Crompton guides readers from one refreshing misadventure of young William Brown to another with hardly a pause. But if you can handle the pace, you will love the series. William Brown is the original mischievous school child, perhaps setting a precedent for such icons as Judy Moody, Junie B. Jones, and the boy from Frindle. It might sound cliche, but these stories are anything but. William and his friends have lived a joyful, chaotic life, although occasionally forced to hold such trivialities such as school and chores. They frequently come up with ridiculously entertaining schemes for revenge on the Hubert Laneites and for earning money. Take yourself back in time to your school days, or if you are a student, imagine a more vibrant and possibly exciting school life by reading Richmal Crompton's William books. Start listening to the audiobook. And the audiobook is available on LibriVox.org. That's LibriVox.org. And there you can just search Just William by Richmal Crompton, and it should be there. Our rating, 6 stars. Yes, 6 stars. And that is the end of the February 2021 edition of Spirit. As always, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.